Well, thank you. You know this is Reverend Mike Wagner now, too, right? Yeah, he's not advertised that a whole lot, but you... Yeah, yeah. He finished the advanced degree program and were ordained.
I got the ministerial credentials. I'm still going through to get my master's degree.
Right, but you got the ministerial credentials how many months ago? Back in September. So give the Lord a hand for that. Man. Well, I'm going to talk about reflecting the image of your Father. And I'm really going to, the Lord put the spiritual side of it on my heart. And because it's Sanctity of Life Human Sunday, Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, okay. Sometimes you hear yourself say what you say, and sometimes you just say it and you go on. But anyway, We're going to dedicate our grandchildren, Mary Ellen, Janelle, and my daughter Alyssa's here, my daughter Brielle, and her best friend Dawn. And so we're going to get, first I want you to see this video, because we're going to talk about reflecting God's image through us. And this is a relatively new band from the South, and they actually put their first video together, this is probably about 2 years ago, and they did the whole video for $183. So I want you to enjoy this video. Yeah, they did. Speaking of a little shameless self-promotion, they made sure they were the band, you know, that encouraged the young man. So, good morning. Oh, don't you want to reflect Jesus? Don't you just love God? And the more you get to know Him, the more you fall in love with Him, the more you want to reflect His glory in your life. And that's what we're going to talk about for a few minutes this morning. And I'm trying to be in sync with time and everything. And I told Mike to give me, if you see Mike doing this and this, or, yeah, this is 10, this is 5, this is 1, you know. So, you know what it means when a preacher looks at his watch? Nothing at all. So, 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. And we're trying some new technology too. Is that cool? That's coming from my laptop, through the wireless, through that computer, to that projector, through the air, to you. It's just beautiful, isn't it? And let's read the scripture together. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Can you read with me? Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. He gives freedom. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Father, we just ask that you bless your word this morning. We ask that your grace and your mercy just come upon us to receive the truth and the insight. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. We welcome you to just make the scriptures come alive to each of us in personal and unique and individual ways, Lord God. We open our hearts to you in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, we all know, and all evangelical Christians and all Christians really agree, that Jesus reveals God. And just a couple scriptures to review real quick. John 1:1, in the beginning, the Word already existed, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14, the Word became human flesh and lived, dwelt, or tabernacled among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. I found that phrase in the New Living Translation helpful. Unfailing love and faithfulness. You've all heard the scripture, full of grace and truth, but sometimes we need to unpack some words and just hear it a different word, hear it paraphrased, so that it speaks a little more deeply, because sometimes the scriptures can become common to us. I've heard it 12 times, 100 times, or maybe 1,000 times. In fact, this is a great example. A church in New Jersey where Maria and I were youth pastors, there was a couple that were elders in the church, and one lady, and this was a classical Pentecostal church. We had service twice on Sunday, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and as many extra services as they could think of, okay, because you wanted to get close to God, you know. And this one lady was just always so full of joy and always excited what she learned from the service. And Maria asked her one time, how long have you been a Christian? Oh, over 50 years. And you're still excited about the Lord and you're still learning new things. She said, I made up my mind years ago and I asked the Lord, teach me at least one new thing in every sermon. And she said, you know what? Any sermon, doesn't matter if I've heard the topic before, the scripture before, even the sermon before, God will teach me at least one new thing every time. So, this couple just loved the Lord all their lives, and they actually got to go home to the Lord together. It was in a car accident, unfortunately, but they actually went home together with the Lord. The Lord's unfailing love and faithfulness. Then verse 18 in John, no man has seen God at any time, but the one and only Son who was in the bosom of the Father, he has revealed him. I made a point to a Jehovah's Witness one day. I said, I think Jesus reveals God. He said, I believe that. I said, okay. I said, well, I believe the captain of the Lord's host who appeared to Joshua, I think that was probably Jesus. He said, I believe that. I said, well, you know, I gave several Old Testament examples of God appearing. The fourth man in the fiery furnace, I believe that was Jesus. And on and on, I gave a number of examples. I said, I believe that was Jesus, just how I believe that. And in fact, I said, I believe the one who walked in the garden in the cool of the day, I believe that was Jesus. And he said, I believe that. And I said, then why does the Bible say his name is Jehovah? And he went, and he couldn't speak for a moment. He said, I don't know, but we have scholars that can answer that. And he dismissed it entirely. So anyway, I do believe, and the Bible teaches, that Jesus reveals God. But Jesus is not the only way. My mouth is dry, and I'm sorry. Jesus is not the only way God is revealed, because now we are in Christ, and God, our Father, is revealed through us. And just like in the video, we can shine with the glory of God. We can shine with the love of God. And in the Amplified Bible, this verse, our text for today, says, all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, we are constantly being transformed into His very own image in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So that gives me a little more insight on what Paul is saying here when he's saying all of us with unveiled face, we get to see God. Now, the story that he's referring to is from the Exodus when Moses would go and meet with God, and then he would come out and meet with Israel. And at first, he didn't realize that his face literally was radiant with the glory of God. And the elders of Israel said, you know, Moses, the people don't want to they're afraid of you because you come glowing from God's presence. And can you put a veil over your face? And he said, well, okay, when I'm out with the people, I'll put a veil over my face. And then when he goes and met with God, he took the veil off, and he just soaked up the glory of God. And so that, couldn't you see him like, whoa, Mo, this is too much. We can't deal. And he said, okay, he said, I'll put a veil over my face. And so that's from Exodus chapter 34. And that's what Paul's referring to. And he says that, he adds another thought there, though. He says, in that same chapter in 1 Corinthians, he says that Moses continued to wear that veil when he noticed the glory was fading, because he didn't want people to notice the glory was fading. And I thought about the responsibility of, as spiritual leaders, we want to reveal God, and we're human, and sometimes we blow it. And some leaders fall for various reasons. And sometimes, you know, there's some days I don't want to be a leader. I just want to be a regular guy. You ever feel that way, Mike? You know? But you know what? We all have a call. None of us are part-time Christians. We're all full-time Christians. And so we're all called to reveal God. So I take it back to, you know what? It's not just about being a leader. It's just about representing my Father. It's about my responsibility to represent my Father. And I can't make this happen. And if you see the glory of God in my life, praise God. And if for some reason the glory is fading, I'm not going to fake it, you know. But I when I was first pastoring, and we've had new people visiting every week, you know, and one lady after church, she was just gushing, oh, you're just such a powerful man of God. It just made me feel so odd, you know, just like, yeah, you don't know me, you know, and you should go talk to my wife. But anyway, she'll fill you in, you know. But then I thought it was interesting that she gushed, and I just kind of said, well, thank you, you know, and I didn't know, you know, just to be polite, you know, and just cut them down, you know. And it, I thought it was also odd that she never came back to church, She thought I was this powerful man of God, and then I never saw her again. So sometimes leaders fall and people are discouraged. Sometimes a man or woman of God becomes yesterday's man and his or her anointing is passed to another. Remember Saul? Remember how he was king of Israel and then he disobeyed God and he disobeyed God and he disobeyed God and finally God said, you're done. You're over. You're history. God has called, will make a new man king. And there's years that passed and Saul went and anointed David as the next king. A little 15, 16-year-old boy, he anointed him. And it was years before David actually took the throne. But it's obvious when you follow 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, when you follow the life of the Old Testament king Saul, that the anointing had passed from his life. But David still respected that office, and he said, I won't touch the Lord's anointed. And he was yesterday's man. And so we need to be in the moment with God, like Pastor Lanny's been teaching. We need to be in the present moment with Him, walking with Him, and just being real. Just like in that video, when the little boy got down and most of his lights went out, he still had a few, and he's like, well, what am I going to do? And he gets in with a group of other Christians, and he's encouraged. And that's what we're trying to do here. We're saying, you know, get with one or two other Christians, because you can be encouraged. And as you're going through the Scripture, and as you're learning to get to know one another and feel comfortable with each other, you'll be praying for each other, and the glory will continue to build in your lives. I like the Message version of the same passage. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legalism, legislation, is recognized as obsolete. In other words, the law was a parenthesis in the plan of God. The law was not just the old covenant. The old covenant was a covenant with Moses. And you've heard this explained, but I just want to touch on it. You know, you've heard Pastor Lanny, you've heard Sam Solon talk about the pre-creation covenant between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to make man, and Jesus making a covenant with God, I will redeem man, and the Holy Spirit joining in the covenant saying, I will draw those sons, I will draw those sons and daughters to God through Jesus. And so this was all planned before the foundation of the world. That's what's cool about this whole thing. I mean, it's not just trying to obey rules and trying to fulfill a religion. It was a plan of God to have a family, to have sons, to have people who would look like Him. Remember that old country, there was a country song, I think it was Paul Overstreet, I See My Father in Me. And our heart today and our point today is that God the Father is seen in us. And Paul's explaining here how this works. When God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. We're free of it, all of us. Nothing between us and God. Our face is shining with the brightness of His face. And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah. Our lives gradually becoming more and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like Him. Now, I hope that sets you free, because when I read this, this sets me free, because this lets me be free to be real. If I blow it, I blow it. Okay? And I'm going to be real, you know, and admit that I blow it. You know, we all have our pride and we deal with, you know, how quickly we do that. But the Bible really means it when it says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, not to a priest, not to a man, necessarily, that He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that was probably the first scripture I memorized as a Christian. And then I realized, you know why that's probably the first scripture I memorized? Because I really needed it. And like some of you, I had a conscience that came alive, but then it was there was also a part that would just beat me up. It's like the stuff I used to try to do that I wanted to do, the worldly stuff, I was trying not to do anymore, but I would find that part of me that wanted to do it, and I would end up doing it, and then I'd have to confess it to God. And we have all these religious baggage with these words because we think confess and repent. But what that word means there for confess, it just means to agree with God.
What passage does that correspond to in Scripture?
That's the same passage. That's our original passage. That is 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18. Mm-hmm. So that's the Message version of the same passage. I've given it to you in layers, more or less. I've given it to you in the New American Standard, and then in the Amplify, and then in the Message. And so when it can be just in the moment, when you feel like, you know, I just blew that, and there's a difference between conviction and condemnation. You know that, right? There's a negative side. You feel condemned when you're that evil conscience, or sometimes it's the enemy just saying, you know, you're a lousy person, you're no good, you should feel ashamed, and God has no more place for you. That's condemnation, and it feels hopeless. But conviction is when the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart and saying, my child, that was wrong. And you say, yes, Lord, I agree with you. And I turn from that. And that's all the word means to confess is to agree with. You agree with the Holy Spirit and say, yes, Lord. And I turn, you know, I confess my sin. And then the Bible says he's faithful not only to forgive, but then to cleanse. Because there's a cycle that starts to happen, because you confess it and you agree with God and say, God, I agree that this was wrong. Would you cleanse me of this so I don't continue in this? And then next time you think of it before you do it, but you might still do it. And then the next time you think of it a little longer before you do it, and you might not do it as intensely. And then the next time you actually stop yourself before you do it. But that's how growth works for a lot of us. We get into cycles, and so as we grow in God, we have to grow out of the cycle and learn to listen to God and learn to agree with God, okay? And then you get out of that cycle where you're feeling condemned and you're beating yourself up and you're saying, I'm no good. So we're free of it. The law itself is not the point anymore, okay? Nothing between us and God. Our face is shining with the brightness of his face, and we are transfigured much like the Messiah. Now, I thought that was interesting that the author of the Message, it was one man, he's a Bible scholar, he's a respected Bible scholar, and the Message is a paraphrase, okay? So it's not a word for word. But, you know, you've heard Pastor Lanny use the Message, and a lot of times it's very kind of street common language, you know, and it just has a different meter and feel to it. But he picked the word transfigured, much like the Messiah. I believe he picked it for a reason. And I went back and reflected. We're not going to take time to turn there. But over in Matthew and Matthew 17:2 and Mark 9:2, Jesus goes up to that high mountain and he's transfigured before them. He takes Peter and John with them and he's transfigured, and the glory of God shines through him, and even his clothes shine with the glory of God. And then Moses and Elijah appear and he's talking with them. And of course, one of the three stooges says, you know, hey, why don't we just build three temples? One for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And all of a sudden they're gone, and God's voice said, this is my son, hear him. I think it's really interesting to ponder that we're being transfigured, much like Jesus was transfigured. But he was already God in the flesh, so you got to see it all at once. And we're being changed from glory to glory. We're being changed. The more we peer into his word, like Molly's teaching us and offering us to do, the more time we spend in his presence and worship, the more we just set our hearts, say, today, Lord, I just want you to just shine through me. If it's loving other people, it's being kind to other people, if it's deferring to someone, whatever it means, Lord, I want you to shine through me. And it's not just the churchy stuff that we do, it's letting his presence come through us all throughout the day. That's why I like that video so much. So are you willing to be a Monday morning messenger? You ever have a really great weekend with God and the presence of God was there and just, you know, I just kind of got this picture of showing up to work, you know, and there's just something about us, you know, we're radiating the glory of God. I'm not talking about like, you know, hi ho, it's off to work we go. But what would you like God to do through you in 2010? Now, I know some of you, and I know many of you, and many of you are already known in your workplace as a Christian. And when people have problems, they come to you with prayer requests, or they come to you with a need. And so maybe it's just a challenge to take that up another level. Or maybe you're not sure that people are even aware that you're a believer. And I really believe this, 2010... especially for Prague, and I know what Pastor Lanny's heart's desire is, that everything's changing. Everything's changing. Things are changing. And we want more of God in 2010 and beyond. And we want more of God's glory. And we want to look more like mature sons and daughters of God than we ever have before. And so, it's not like being Superman, but we're going to close after this clip. Lord willing.
More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman. Yes, it's Superman. Strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Superman, who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in his bare hands, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way. And now, another exciting episode in the adventures of Superman.
So, you'll remember this service today, won't you? But I hope you remember this, that God wants to shine through you. And he will shine through you. And in fact, that's what the whole point Paul was trying to make to the Corinthians, that you know, keep after God because he really wants to shine through you. And he tells them, I didn't just preach a religion, I revealed Jesus to you. And you are our letter. That's earlier in that same chapter. He says, you are our letter written in your heart. You're the letter of God. And who's God's writing a letter to who? To people around you in your sphere of influence so that they hear and know and understand how good God is. So I want you to take a minute and just, there's a note. Is there still a note spot in that bulletin? There used to be a note. Oh, that's right. That's like the legacy, sir. Well, there used to be a note page, but that's not in the gathering service, is it? There was like a note. Take a minute before the Lord and write down two or three things that you believe the Lord wants you to do in 2010 that's going to take you to help take you to the next level, okay? Whether it's share Jesus more or reach out to a neighbor or... It's personal. It's different for all of us. But if you find it, even on the cover of the bulletin here, okay, if you know there's room to write, and if you just kind of grab a piece of paper and take a minute before the Lord, and just say, Lord, what do you want to do in me this year? And then jot down two or three things, and just set those before the Lord, because I believe writing those goals out and writing those things out that we hear in our spirit are going to help us be more intentional about moving forward in God. Just take a minute and listen to God and then write it down. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. So one of our members, I understand she sets it as a goal to win a certain amount of people to Jesus every year. And she commonly meets or exceeds that goal. And she's out there talking to people about Jesus on a regular basis. And the only way you can win people to Jesus is to talk to them about Jesus. And just tell them whatever you know. When Matthew 28 says, go in the world and make disciples, teaching them whatever I've commanded you, I've learned to paraphrase that. Just teach what you know. You don't have to teach what you don't know, but teach what you know. Not just in your head, but what you really know because you live it in your life. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have our dedication. Yes, you want to say something?
Yeah.
Sure.
We're going to move into the baby dedication. But before we do, I just wanted to highlight this message because, I mean, to me it was exceedingly important and it really spoke to me. And the video spoke volumes.
Which one?
One of the passages that I found as Reverend Don was speaking was also in 2 Corinthians, and it was just a couple chapters over. And starting in verse 17, this is chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and then gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And then he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now, this is the part. The next verse is the one that really jumped out at me. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now, here's what I wrote in my little notes, because I had been to this passage before, and this is what I had written based on that that part about we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were entreating through us. I wrote this: every encounter is divine. Wow. Just as though you saw the video of that kid going into the elevator and coming out, everybody was lit up. Every encounter that we make is divine.
Yeah.
So when I wrote down my three things, this is, I'll be totally transparent. This is what I wrote down. Learn to forgive.
Yeah.
surrender anger. And the final one was see every encounter as a divine appointment.
Yeah.
As divine.
Wow.
So thank you for bringing that. That was excellent.
Thank you, sir.
What an excellent message as we...
And it was even short, wasn't it?
It was. As we begin 2010.
All right. Okay. Maybe that's a new thing.
Is this yours here behind?
Yes.
Okay.
My Bible.
I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Thank you, sir.
To dedicate these two precious ones.
Right. My wife's going to help me with this. Oh. Maria, come. Yeah, well, I don't think we need the podium. Do you want me to set it up? Okay. The Bible says that children are heritage from the Lord. And my oldest daughter, Alyssa, had twins in November. So these are our first grandchildren, and their names are Janelle and Marielle. And we'd like to just invite Alyssa up. My daughter's godmother to one of the children, and Dawn, you can come up too, because you're just kind of, all right, you're going to take photos? Okay. Alyssa, bring the babies up, and Brielle. And as most evangelical Christians don't believe that in baptizing babies, because baptism is an act of the will when you, as an older person, at least 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, that can understand the decision that you're making and make a commitment to follow Jesus. And we believe in baptism by immersion because it shows putting away the old life and rising again to a new life. But we do believe in dedicating a child to the Lord. And the examples are all over Scripture. One in particular is when God gave Hannah a child in the Old Testament, and she gave him back to the Lord. She kept him till he was three, and she weaned him, and she literally took him to the temple and gave him to the priest to raise. And she said, "What the Lord has given me, I give back to the Lord." And he became the great prophet Samuel. And so the voice of God wasn't even heard in that day because the priesthood was so corrupt. And God brought a revival through that. So when we dedicate our children to the Lord, we're actually dedicating ourselves. And we're making a dedication as parents to raise those children in the love and mercy of God. So if you could stand in front and face us, and we just want to, we won't make a presentation as we pray. Okay, just want to keep click a couple more. So,
first of all, Alyssa, I would like to present this red rose to you to present to Joe, the father of these babies. Remind him that it is a symbol of the love and the blood of Jesus, and salvation, and the sacrifice that he made for every one of us. Secondly, I present this white rose to you, Janelle and Marielle's mother. A white rose is a symbol of purity, and it is your responsibility as their mom to teach purity to them in their lives, so that they will be raised the purity of God before man and before God. It is also your duty to represent purity in your home to the best of your strength and your ability through God's help. Finally, I present the rose buds for each of your darling daughters. The rosebud is a symbol of the potential of what these girls will be. We don't see that quite yet. But as those tight little buds develop into the rose, their lives will unfold as you pour into them the teachings of God, the love of God, and they will be, I prophesy this over them right now. They will be bold and strong women of the word. In Jesus' name.
Let's pray. And just as the body of believers, we believe in, and we thank the body of Prague specifically because it was so touching to me that the numbers of the ladies that said, I want to help with your daughter's baby shower. And many of you were there and have been there. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that as a family of believers and as a natural family, we dedicate these children to you. And you tell us that children are a heritage from the Lord. And that, Lord, you work through that family line to bring forth your purposes. And Lord, we break every curse that would try to come to them through the family line right now by the blood of Jesus. And Lord, we speak blessing and we release every blessing. You said blessing goes to 1,000 generations. Lord, we don't even know what blessings are back 1,000 generations in each of our family lines, Maria and I. But we speak every blessing on these children in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.
Momentarily, I would also like to present to Alyssa the start of many Bibles for these girls. It is also your responsibility to speak into their lives the Word of God, prayer, and spirituality as they get older.
Thank you. Pastor Mike, Reverend, I'm done. I'm done ahead of time, man.